T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's the Real Postgame Show. An ass whooping by your New England Patriots, 45-7. And leave it to Fred to take off the week in which the Patriots were absent with any negativity here today, Steve.
Killing
it
him.
Wouldn't happen.
Killing him. You know that's the truth, too. And I don't think, I mean, it was okay to expect a win. It wasn't okay to expect this. This was a drubbing from outside that first drive that Cleveland had. This was a drubbing of monumental proportions. It was just great.
So first quarter, we had two long drives by both teams. They put 7 points up on the board.
Great answer, by the way, to that opening drive.
You sit there and you say to yourself, okay, we're going to have a hell of a game. It's going to be an interesting afternoon.
Yep.
From that point on, in every aspect of the game, offense, defense, quarterback play, special teams, whatever, it was all New England.
Yeah.
Completely New England.
And we were spoiled for 20 years with seeing a lot of those games, and this was a surprise. You could easily made a case for the Patriots winning this game, finding a way to win this game, but you could not have made a case for this kind of beatdown. And it's just...
Against a quality team. That blew out Cincinnati last week. Looked like they were peaking, looked like they were playing at a high efficiency. Looked like their quarterback was healthy once again.
Yes. But, you know, we always... I mean, how many years we're not fooled by it, but how many years have we seen it where there's teams that show up in the first part of the season and then the reality sets in and they become... I still think Cincinnati is a decent team, but... You've seen it with a bunch of teams. Who do we see start out strong? We saw Denver start out strong. Carolina start out strong. A number of teams were doing things that nobody expected. And when things settle in, especially this year, last year was a crazy year. This is a way more conventional year than we had last year. But it still holds to form. We've seen so many years where, you know, oh, is this the year that so-and-so is going to be able to make a run? Yeah, okay, they might be 4-1 right now, but talk to me in 4 or 5 weeks. And that's how it played out. And to see the Patriots getting better and winning games that they could have given away like they did in the beginning of the season. I mean, they gave away a couple games early on. They don't seem to be doing those things now.
Well, I think a big part of it, and we've talked about this over the years, and some lost faith, I think, because Brady was doing so well in Tampa Bay,
sure,
and New England was going through this rebuilding process. So much of it is all on coaching, and I think you're starting to see that. You're starting to see Bill Belichick build his defense up. You're starting to see Josh McDaniels build a rookie quarterback up, and more and more people are starting to buy into Mac Jones is the real deal, though Fox in their pregame show kind of played along with, well, is it really the situation he's in, or is he really a good quarterback? I'm not going to dispute that the situation he's in is a really good one, though he doesn't have the greatest receivers, though we're starting to see something from Henry now. He's starting to play
true and
make some big plays in down in the red zone, and they're starting to open up that red zone. Coaching, Steve, is a humongous part of all of this. And you're seeing it with Belichick. You've played under this guy before. You understand it. Week by week, it's details. It's filling in the blanks. We got to fix this. We got to fix that. We got to leak over here. We got to do this. And I think you're starting to see it over the last 3 weeks. This has been a legitimate contending team.
Right. And does anybody in the NFL have a greater body of work behind him than Bill Belichick does? So he's not going to be a coach that's going to panic. He's not going to be a coach that throws things up against the wall just to see if it sticks. He's got a plan, and we're seeing the fruits of that plan right now. This team is much better than it was at the beginning of the season. How many times did we say that about Tom Brady's Patriots? How many times? It matters how you're playing in November and December way more than, obviously, you still want the wins in September and October, but you want to be playing your best football in mid to late November and all of December. And they still have some big games on their schedule, two against Buffalo, and they're still going to have to work hard to get in the playoffs. But you could easily see this team competing for a playoff spot, easily. And I 3 weeks ago, I would have said something is going to have to break for them to make the playoffs. And now you look at them like that's a team that could compete for the playoffs, especially when you combine it with other teams like a Cincinnati and Cleveland sort of falling by the wayside.
They're coming back to earth. Yeah, you're starting to see that. You're starting to see it in that AFC North division as well. You know, they're kind of, what are the Steelers? And now you get the COVID situation with Roethlisberger. And as well as Lamar Jackson is playing, the Ravens are not playing well. So you're looking at the rest of the conference and you're saying to yourself, okay, a few weeks ago, we thought the goal was really make the postseason.
Right.
Now, I will bet you anything, this will be the line you will hear all over ESPN, the NFL Network, over the next few weeks. The team nobody wants to play going forward will be the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
The team nobody wants to play in the postseason will be the New England Patriots. Because they're so well coached, they can come up with a great, great game plan. And, oh yeah, by the way, they don't have a rookie quarterback. The kid is for real.
Yeah.
Duck boats.
Yeah. Well, let's not get carried away.
Slow your roll there.
Yeah.
And I was watching one of the pregame shows, might have been Fox, Dave Wannstedt, a coach that I very briefly played for, mentioned they were all talking about teams to watch out for, and he was the last one to talk, and he goes, call me crazy, but you better watch out for these Patriots. And he gave a lot of it was about what Bill Belichick does as a coach and how he prepares his teams for the games. I'm not ready to buy my plane ticket to LA for the Super Bowl yet, but I'm all in on this team being a playoff caliber team.
I agree with you. I mean, let's see some consistency. Short week.
Yep.
They're going to Atlanta. Atlanta's got all sorts of problems, including the quarterback's been beaten up. They were beaten up today as well. And then you get Tennessee, as you mentioned. You get those two games coming up with Buffalo. Let's see some consistency.
Agreed.
Over the next 4 or 5 weeks. But at least I think there's hope here. Now, let's get to the quarterback. And then we're going to get to Bill Belichick. And we'll hear from Mac Jones when he heads to the podium. And then we're going to get to your phone call. So load them up right now. 617-779-7937. There is reason today to believe. There's no question about it. Mac Jones, 19 of 23, 198 yards, 8.6 average, 3 touchdowns, 0 INTs, and a quarterback rating of 142.1. More impressive? How about 3 drives that he scored on all 3? 83 yards, 95 yards, and 99.5 yards.
Right.
That is impressive. A rookie quarterback backed up at his own end, and he gets you 7 every freaking time.
Yeah, imagine that. The 99.5 yard after that penalty that they took. 99.5 yard drive. Just an amazing drive in terms of how they were able to move down the field. It was a combination of some longer gains on some passes, some very good running. The offensive line played better, even though he had some pressure here and there. All around, you try to find the weak part of this game, and it's hard to point to anything that went wrong.
Myles Garrett and Clowney at each bookends.
Yes.
This is a very good defense he faced today.
Agreed.
This is a defense that attacks the quarterback. This is a defense that doesn't give you an awful lot of wiggle room to run the football. And yet, he picked them apart. And the thing that I think was the most impressive, and you tell me, Steve, the checkdowns. Some of the stuff that he was seeing, pre-snap stuff, you could see it. He was taking a long time, numerous times during the course of the game, because he saw something, he readjusted, and then notice what happened. They had a big play virtually every single time he did that.
Yep.
To me, that's telling me the kid's really figuring it out.
Yeah, and he held onto the ball a couple times longer than he should have, but again, not as much as he did in the past. I mean, there was a couple times you're holding your breath because he was you saw the rush coming, and he still got rid of the ball. You know, there's probably a couple times where he held on to it a little bit longer, but the fact is he's learning. He's growing into this position, and he's becoming a fantastic first-round pick so far. Again, I'm not putting a gold jacket on him.
Not in camp quite yet, Bill.
Right. But this is you see, like you're seeing the progress of the Patriots as a team. You're seeing progress from Mac Jones too.
Well, I thought the last 2 weeks, and we talked quite a bit about this. The last 2 weeks, he was having a little bit of difficulty. Yep. I wouldn't say he was seeing ghosts, but he was seeing some unfamiliar sights out there, things that teams were kind of figuring out and changing up on him. I thought today just the opposite. He was in rhythm. He was totally confident. He was seeing everything.
Agreed.
And adjusting to what he saw.
Agreed.
And we know what he is. You know, he can really throw an accurate pass. He can throw the ball deep. He can throw the ball underneath. He's never going to be able to extend the play using his legs. He's going to have to do it all with his head and with his arm. But I think today, I thought, was the best we have seen Mac Jones to this point. This was more complete than anything we had seen. And the last 2 weeks, I do believe there was kind of a little bit of, let's say, some difficulty. There was some resistance. Today, I thought just the opposite, and again, against a really good defense.
You can go back even to 3 weeks ago to the Chargers game. That first quarter of the Chargers game, it looked like he had happy feet. It looked like he was a little nervous, yep. I wouldn't say nervous. I would say he was a little tentative in what he was doing that first quarter. And even the early on in the Panthers game, it was he wasn't as clean as he usually is. But for a kid to be able to settle down in that situation, and then again, you mentioned it earlier. He knew that there was going to be some pressure from that pass rush. That they're very creative in how they use both Clowney and Garrett.
Sometimes they use them both on one side.
Yes,
they did in numerous plays today.
Yep, yeah. I mean, it didn't seem like he was rattled by anything, and that's a good playing against a good defense, not a great defense, but a pretty good, especially when it comes to getting towards the quarterback or pressuring the quarterback. He did a nice job knowing full well that he was probably going to get pressured a little bit. Didn't matter. They had a good running game going. They had the short passing game, the intermediate passing game, one or two longer passes. But that's all you can really want out of your a rookie quarterback, is to see him making progress as the season goes along.
All right, let's get to the defense. We're waiting for Bill Belichick. We're going to take you right down to Foxborough when Bill hits the podium. Let's look at the defense right now. Again, Matt Judon, who has been just immense. We got Bill right now. Let's go to Bill Belichick.
All right. Well, that was really a great, great day for us here today. On so many different levels. But I'll start. Let's kind of start at the top here. Relationship that our team, our organization has with the TAPS Foundation has been very meaningful for all of us for a number of years, and proud to wear James Patrick Darcy's pin here today. Our players and coaches were been involved in that in all week, and Mr. Kraft and the organization had some events for him and things like that, but it was awesome to see that, to recognize the military, to have Admiral Gilday here. Always like to see a lot of those gold bars on those Navy uniforms. That's always kind of sends chills down my spine. So just the whole week, the Veterans Week, the Salute to Service Day, and all that brought, and how thankfully we did our part. And I thought the team really played well today. There's so many outstanding plays and players and the preparation we had this week. Just you can really put everybody and talk about just about everybody in there. But, long touchdown drives, turnovers, competitive plays in the kicking game, just kind of big plays after big plays from so many different people. So really proud of the way the team prepared, way they competed, and we just, as I told him after the game there, it's Wednesday night, and tomorrow's Thursday, and on a Sunday schedule. So we've got a lot of work to do here in a short amount of time. So just enjoy this one briefly, but we got to move on and turn the page to Atlanta very quickly. So, but it was, you know, a good day for us today, and you know, hopefully we can, you know, fill the tank back up and, you know, be ready to have another good quick week here and be ready to go on Thursday. But that'll be a big challenge for us heading down there. And but proud of the way these guys played today and proud of the way they competed. And, Joe, you know, just say, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with Troy Hill, and you know, it's always, you know, something that none of us ever want to see. And so he was, you know, here very briefly, but hope that he's okay, along with Baker and Schwartz and whoever else, but especially, you know, Troy.
Go with Joe Kia.
Bill, after falling behind 7-0, how impressed were you with just the comeback, 45 straight points, the offense, and Mac Jones specifically on his performance today?
Yeah, well, again, it was a complete offensive effort. I think you couldn't single anybody out. You know, Browns have a lot of good defensive players, you know, have a great corner, a couple of good defensive ends, and you know, a lot of other good players too. And they brought a couple guys back this week defensively, but you know, I thought you know, we ran the ball competitively, threw the ball competitively, finished drives in the red zone with touchdowns. So you know, so a good team offensive effort all the way across the board and in every area.
Bill, you mentioned a lot of guys getting contributing today. Jacoby Myers finally found the end zone. A big reaction we saw from the sidelines, guys coming from the sideline to celebrate with him, and saw you cheering him a little bit. What did it mean for the team to see Jacoby, after all this time, finally score his own first touchdown?
Yeah, well, it's great every time we score. But, yeah, Jacoby's been a part of a lot of big plays that they've put other guys in position to do that. And, yeah, it's good to see him score. But, you know, again, the most important thing is the contributions that everybody made to the team winning the game and giving a solid performance for four quarters out there. So I think, you know, everybody's just happy that happened. And they should be. So they worked hard to make it happen.
Anybody here?
Coach, after the opening drive TD by Cleveland, was there some form of an adjustment defensively that you guys went through to stop the running game there by the Browns?
Yeah, they had, you know, a good, you know, they had a good plan there. They hit us on a couple, you know, two power plays, one zone play. And we had a chance to make a stop there on fourth down, and they converted that in the back of the end zone. But again, that's the NFL, you know, teams come in with plans and plays and, you know, if you don't play things well, or you haven't coached it well, and then you have to fix that, and then they move on to something else, then you move on to something else, and so that's kind of the way it is every week.
You had the interception by Duggar, and then the another touchdown, so I want to say 38 seconds came off the clock there with the two scores and the pick. Just how big of a momentum switch was it for your team at that time?
Well, it's always good. You know, when you can kind of get those bonus points from your defense or special teams, that, you know, it's hard to count on those. But when you get a, you know, interception return like Phillips had in L.A., or J.C.'s return in Carolina, or Kyle's return to the whatever 5-yard line, whatever it was, you know, to set up a quick touchdown, you know, it's hard to count on those. But when you get those are, you know, bonus points, and certainly if you don't get it all the way to the end zone, then being able to take advantage of it and finish it with, you know, the offensive scoring drive, good complementary football, then that's, you know, that's what you need. You need the other side of the ball to, you know, finish the job, whether it's getting the field position, making a stop, getting the ball in the end zone, and we did that today, fortunately. So,
Bert.
Nope. But if you look at where you were a month ago, having to play two road games in a stretch, Carolina and LA. Talk about the consistency you've seen over the last month. What's happened? I'm assuming it's in the practice field as well. Seems to be in all areas of this game.
Well, I've asked the players to, you know, work hard every day, and they've tried to do that. But, you know, right now, none of that really means anything. You know, we'll just have to come in here tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, head to Atlanta, and you know, be ready to go against Falcons. So it's what happened today or what happened in September or some other game. It doesn't really, I don't think it really matters at this point. It's really what we do from here going forward. But players are doing a good job of studying. They're doing a good job of working together and anticipating things that are going to happen so we can react a little faster and play more aggressively. Players are doing a good job of trying to practice and understanding how important it is that the practice execution sets up you know, the performance in the game. But we'll have to keep doing it. We're running up against another, you know, another good team this week. And, you know, if we don't, then things won't go well. So we'll see how we do this week.
Bill, you had a tough decision before the game with six offensive linemen. What went into the decision with the five that you picked, and what, why did Michael end up being the sixth guy there?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of good players there, and it's good to get Trent back, and you know, we'll see how things go going forward, but it's good to have Trent back out there.
Maury over here.
Hey, Bill, considering Ramondre's status this week, not practicing 3 days, and then he gets his first career 100-yard game, anything surprise you with what he did out on the field, considering he didn't practice?
Yeah, Ramondre's run well. Caught the ball well. He's made good yards after contact. He's been doing that, you know, for several weeks. So, you know, glad we had the opportunity to get as many runs called and for him to get the carries that he did. He stepped in for Damian and he did a great job. So, again, it's good to have depth, and we have depth in the backfield and, you know, count on all those guys, and they've really come through for us.
Actually tied a career high. Could you talk about his importance in the last five games to your defense here?
Well, Matt's done a great job for us all year. You know, we asked him to do a lot of different things, and you know, he's worked hard to adjust to some new roles that he's had on this team in terms of technique, playing responsibility, and some different assignments and so forth. But, you know, he embraces it. He always tries to know how he can help the team, how he can, you know, do his job better and help somebody else or help do his part on whatever the play happens to call for him to do. So, punt return team, you know, whatever it is, he's right there, you know, always ready to go. And he's given us a lot of quality plays. I'm glad we have him. He's been a real good player for us.
Bill, just two quick questions about first Brandon Bolden. How much has he taken on that James White third down back role? And going back to Stevenson, the injuries that he had this past week, how much do you check on a player throughout the course of a game to make sure he's okay and make sure he can still kind of finish out?
Yeah, well, those are all medical things. I don't check anybody out. I don't think anybody wants me playing doctor with them. That's not really my job. I'm not very good at that. But that's why we have our medical staff. They monitor that. But Brandon, you know, I think Brandon's really, you know, it's such a, I think we all have such admiration and respect for what he's done. He hasn't relinquished any of his roles in the kicking game, and he's taken on some huge roles for us offensively. And again, as we've talked about, those are very challenging, difficult, and demanding roles, from assignments and multiplicity of what can happen and does happen week to week, game to game, play to play. You know, he's handled it great. And at the same time, he's out there, you know, in the kicking game, giving us quality plays in that phase of the game as well, too. So extremely fortunate that we have him. And you know, Brandon prepares hard, works hard, and you know, it's been a really good player for us for a long time. I'm glad we have him.
Bill, it's never easy going from Sunday to Thursday, but I'm curious if there's an added level of difficulty because you haven't seen the Falcons since October of 2017. Does that make a more difficult preparation?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a team we don't know very much about. You know, Coach Smith's come down there and he really gotten things going down there. You know, Tennessee, but that's what I've seen. It's not really Tennessee. It's a different team than than what the Titans were when he was there. It's just put together differently. And, you know, Coach P's defensively. Again, there's some carryover, some familiarity, but not really. There's we got a long way to go on the Falcons and what they do. And even though, you know, we're familiar with Coach Smith and Coach P's, that team looks a lot different than the Titans from, you know, what we looked at from them in the past. We did some work on that in the offseason, and we knew, of course, this is going to be a short week, and so we tried to, you know, prepare for some offseason work on the Falcons, but it appears that that's not going to be all that it'll be relevant, but I'm not all that relevant. And, you know, they obviously have some outstanding players, you know, starting with Pitts, that there's going to be a major problem. So, guy we haven't faced, and guy that they've done a great job of utilizing in different roles, and, you know, has had tremendous production. You know, Ryan's having a good year, so, you know, they can certainly move the ball and score a lot of points. They're very dangerous.
Going to take two more questions. Tara Sullivan.
Thank you. Fair or not this week, Bill, Mack found himself in the middle of kind of some, well, an ongoing conversation, criticism over that play from last week with Burns. The only reason I bring it up is I'm just curious from your perspective, what are you learning about Mack, the way he navigates through different things we see on the field, but you see off the field, just the way he handles things and whether it's criticism or whatever, new things in the NFL?
Yeah, well, that's the NFL for all of us. You know, we all deal with things every week, and, you know, Mack's done a good job of it. You know, so is everybody else, and we all learn. And as I said, there's different challenges every week from each and every team and every situation. So let's do the best we can with him. But, yeah, he's done a good job.
And last question, I'll go back. Bill, the plan to neutralize Garrett seemed to incorporate everything you had from misdirection, run and pass game, cut blocks, chips. Is that what you believed you needed to do to kind of slow down the rush here today?
Yeah, well, again, you know, I think Josh, as usual, you know, did a great job pulling together the game plan and calling the game. But, yeah, there's more than one player out there. You got to deal with all 11 guys. You got to deal with Ward. You got to deal with Clowney. You got to deal with, you know, all the rest of them, Walker, right down the line. So, you know, it's a lot more than just one guy. So they have some very good players. You got to deal with them for sure. But, you know, I think really it was about the entire team, game planning, all the coaches, coaching staff, the players, just executing the game plan, executing the plays, you know, at a good, high, productive level. And that, you know, that includes everybody, the line, tight ends, backs, quarterback, receivers, fullback, and all the guys that played roles in that. That's, you know, they all had different roles on different plays. And, you know, and we did a little bit better than they did today, but that's, you know, it's really a team performance. You know, I don't think it's just about one. You just can't block one guy on defense and think everything else is going to work. That's just not enough. All right, thank you.
Wow, that was like a midweek press conference right there, Steve. Ooh. Nick, how long did that go?
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
He was gushing in the beginning. That's
pounding about everything, including moving on to the next opponent and giving you a complete breakdown. And you know why he was so long with this and how he never grunted, he never groaned, he never gave you a one-word answer? You know why, Steve? Because he realizes he's got a good football team.
Yeah, I think he does.
Did I just do a Biden whisper? Right
maybe,
there?
Yeah. I think I did. Yeah. Maybe, wow. Maybe. I mean, again,
he knows he's got.
I
a
wouldn't
good football
presume
team,
to
Steve.
Know what Belichick was thinking 5-6 weeks ago, but yeah, I think he's looking at this team as maybe further along than he supposed to.
He's comfortable. I've seen enough of Bill to know that when Bill is still irritable, even though the team goes out and wins, he's still looking at a lot of stuff that he's got to fix.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not saying that there isn't stuff he has to fix right now, but Bill, through these, 10 games now, he's pretty pleased. Agreed. He's looking at this thing, and he is pretty pleased. He knows he's got something.
And that will be tempered by him going into meetings tomorrow and finding something else that they can work on.
They already just built up Atlanta. And you talked about the last time they faced them. And are you kidding me? This is not the same Atlanta.
No, it's not.
Come on.
Absolutely
isn't. We're close to it.
Yeah,
this team is a disaster. And it's one of those teams, I think, that you can break them early on in games.
Yes.
You know? I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and talk about Atlanta. So why don't we do this, Steve? Why don't we take a break? No Freddie today.
Can we do a quick wellness check on Wiggy? Because I think Cam Newton just scored a touchdown for Carolina. So somewhere Wiggy jumped off out of his chair and maybe hit the ceiling.
Maybe a good debate for Wiggy. Could Cam have done today what Mac Jones did?
Why?
Well, really? I'm just throwing that out. That's all. All right, 617-779-7937. Load them up. We'll talk to you. Are you now complete believers? I mean, they're starting to prove that they're more than maybe just a team that can squeak into the playoffs. They're a team that could possibly do some damage. We get to your phone calls coming up next, plus Mac Jones right here on The Real Postgame.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is the Real Postgame Show with Ordway, Diassi, and Smirlis. The winning streak continues as the Pats down the Browns. React and talk about the game right here
on WEEI.
Blowout City for the New England Patriots today, and they are now 6-4. Steve Diassi with us on the Real Postgame Show. Day off for Freddie Smirlis. He'll be back with us on Thursday night. Yep, Thursday night game this week.
Did they have to run up the score, though?
That's
just so mean.
It's unfair. It's so unfair.
It's just not fair.
It's just not fair. Where society is today, Steve, I really think once they got the 24-7 lead, they probably should have
knelt on the ball.
Put it neutral and backed off.
You know there's somebody out there thinking
put Hoyer in at that point. Why wait? Protect the kid. You know, he's still a rookie. This hour of the Real Postgame Show being brought to you by Feldman Geospatial. They get it right from the ground up at FeldmanGeo.com. Also brought to you by McDonald's. What's more perfect than a McDouble or a McChicken? Getting two of your favorite sandwiches or one of each for just $3.50 at McDonald's. It's perfecter. That's what it says. Prices and participation may vary. All right, let's get some reaction. Get to the phone calls. I don't see how anybody could find anything negative in today's game. I think you really have to struggle to find any aspect or any player in which you're sitting there saying, boy, I had a problem with this, because they were just dominant.
And clean. No, very, very few mistakes, you know, a couple penalties here and there. But for the most part, that was as clean a game as they've played all year.
All right, to the calls we go. Here's Wayne in South Boston. Wayne-o.
Ordway, what's up, buddy?
What's
hey,
up, buddy?
What a game today, huh? Woo!
Yep. Fun to watch.
Baby. Everything was on click. The offensive line with Trent Brown back was on click. What's his name? Jones, Matt Jones. He looked unreal. Like, he is so poised in that pocket, Ordway. He just sits there, and he picks his thing, and he goes for it. I mean, the kid was – Miles Garrett didn't even get near him today. I mean, that's what I'm saying. He did unbelievable today, Mac. And our defense stepped up huge today. They shut down Baker Mayfield. Shut him down. Every time he tried to go to those little passes, routes and everything, boom, shut him down. This was, and all, like you said, this game was the best game they played all season, Ordway.
No question. There's no question. They were dominant in this game. Dominant the first half. And even in the second half, when you're sitting there going, the game really is over. They had the first possession of the second half with a huge lead. But even in the second half, they did not slow down. They kept going.
Yep.
By the way, Baker Mayfield, you just talked about him, and he ended up getting hurt in this game, and knee injury or whatever. And I don't know, maybe he does apparently still have some other physical ailments or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something missing there, Steve, with that guy.
Yeah, you wonder what it is.
He's got a really good personality. He's got a good offensive line. You know, granted, he didn't have, two of his best running backs out there today, but, the other kid, Johnson, was pretty good, at least in the first possession. But to me, Baker Mayfield, there is something missing in that kid.
Yeah, because he's very capable of having huge games. I mean, we've seen him have, it's not even a question that he has the capability of putting up big numbers, but he also has the capability of laying an egg like he did today. And it's strange because you keep expecting him as a youngish quarterback to become that guy that's week in and week out one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But right now he seems to be like an average, maybe slightly above average quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, there's something that is missing there. Here's Mark. He's next up here on the Real Post Game Show. What do you got, Mark?
Gentlemen, a couple of quick hits. You guys mentioned earlier, 3 drives over 90 yards, 1 over 80. Wow. Belichick was jubilant. And I live in Baltimore, so it's rare I ever get a Patriots broadcast. I mean, the Ravens have to play on a Sunday night or a Monday or a Thursday for me to get it. And when it does, I get to savor it. But today, because it was a rout, they cut away from the game early to save further embarrassment to the Browns. And it feels like old times.
They went to the Tennessee game, Steve.
They did.
And then across the rest of the country.
A little more interesting game,
though. We don't need the Patriots now. They did come back. Game. They did come back, Mark. They did.
Yeah, well, a little bit. But I think what you're referring to as far as Baker Mayfield is the vacant stare.
How so?
Well, just early on, you could tell that he felt like the game was getting away from him. It was 21-7. They kept showing shots, and I looked at his face, and I said, that doesn't look like a guy who feels like they have what it takes to come back on the road.
Yeah, but he's done it in the past. I mean, he's had any number of games where he's put up some big numbers, but they were on him from the get-go, and they were hitting the receivers, they were breaking up passes, they were putting pressure on him. The Patriots were coming after him early in a lot of ways defensively. So no, I get it. I still think he's better than most, but not near what I was expecting him to be watching him the first few years.
I thought it was interesting Bill's answer when they were asking him about Myles Garrett, because they really did contain Myles Garrett during this game, and you could see what they were doing. They were putting a lot of double on him. They were doing a lot of stuff because, as you know, Bill likes to take whatever the guy he's most concerned about on the other side of the ball. We shut that guy down, let somebody else beat us. And that's pretty much what they did. Bill kind of poo-pooed it. And if you notice, the guys that were having the most success, again, and it was very little of it, but the most success defensively were the two Maliks inside on the defensive line. They were the ones that were having the most success because Bill put a lot of attention to the guys outside.
Yeah, and the other thing you do to a guy like that is, and we've seen the Patriots do this.
Hold on. We're going to go to Mac Jones.
Starts with the offensive line. They deserve all the credit in the world. We did hear a lot about, obviously, Cleveland's front, and they have a good front, and we have a really good offensive line. So I'm proud of them. And then, obviously, everyone making the plays that they were supposed to make. They did a great job, and that's what happens when you play football like that. You score a lot of points, and it becomes way more fun. You're scoring touchdowns, and the defense is going out there getting stops. Special teams is making their plays. So it's just a 3-level game, and when we click on all cylinders, we can be pretty good.
Next question up,
Mac, you mentioned about their front that you heard about all week long, and there were a lot of long drives today, but in particular, you had a 99-yard drive. Mm-hmm. How much confidence did you guys have after that drive to say, okay, we can play with this, we can do what we need to do?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to practice execution, and we do that every week where we start way backed up and push it down the field, so in practice. And when you get in the game, you just have to execute the plays that are called, and you can't look at where you are, you can't look at the scoreboard, you can't worry about external factors. You just have to focus on, all right, here's what I'm supposed to do. And then when 11 guys do it together, the product will be pretty good at the end of the drive. And I think we did that multiple times on those long drives, and it just shows mental and physical toughness that we put together, and we just need to keep doing that on a consistent basis.
But Phil Perry here.
Hey, Mac, how would you describe the connection you have right now with Hunter Henry? And when you guys are deep in the red zone there, we've seen you guys obviously connect on a few different types of plays. Does he have some freedom? Do you guys have some freedom together to run some different options depending on what the defense is throwing at you?
Yeah, I think just with the red zone, we always have a good plan with Josh, and he does a really good job scheming everybody up. And my job is to get it to the person that's supposed to get the ball. And Hunter does a great job getting open, and he has a really good feel for red zone offense and running routes and blocking and finding his little spot in the zone or in the end zone. So he does a good job of that, and all our guys do. We have great receivers, and you know, at some point we just have to figure out ways to spread the ball around and continue to get points in the red zone, and that's the most important part, is getting the 6 points versus kicking a field goal and getting three.
When you threw that touchdown to Kendrick Bourne, can you walk us through that play? He said that maybe you guys were working on that one during practice, during the week.
Yeah.
So what did you see, and why did it click?
Yeah, we called it, and it was another red zone play that Josh did a good job putting together. And the line gave me plenty of time, and KB ran a good route, and he was my read, and I threw him the ball. So he also made a really good catch, and there was two guys right there, and he just said, that's my ball, and made the play. So that's how we want our receivers to play, and all of them do that. So it's really fun when you can throw it and knowing that they're going to go attack the ball in the red zone.
Here in the back.
Yeah, Mac, it looked like you were one of the first ones down to see him in the end zone. How good did it feel to see Jacoby get his first touchdown reception?
That was awesome. I told him today, I was like, you're going to score before the game. I didn't know that it was going to come from Hoyer, but it was great. So I was super excited, and like, we were out there together, and the ball, I was so concerned about the ball. I was like, we got to find the ball, and I guess they found it, so that's good. But I think Jacoby is a great teammate. He's a great team player, and that's much deserved, and he's going to get more. And from here, we just keep stacking them up, and hopefully there'll be a bunch. But he's a great teammate, like I said, gets open in the red zone, does his job. Sometimes when he's not even getting the ball, he's in there knocking people down and just being really physical. So we're really happy to, you know, be able to play together, and hopefully we'll play together for a long time.
Mac, after starting off 2-4, what do you think the key has been just during this four-game stretch for the team? Has there been any common denominator?
I think just practice, just doing the little things right. I think here we do a good job every week of preparing for what we want, and it just comes down to practice execution becoming game reality. And when we practice well, we play well, and when we don't practice well, usually we don't play as well. So it's pretty much that simple, and we just have to keep doing that.
Two more. We got Tara Sullivan here in the front.
I was just curious, Mac, if you can remember ever leading a 99-plus, it was really like 99-and-a-half-yard drive before. If so, if you can ever remember one at the high school or college level.
Yeah, I think close, but not 99. That's a long way to go. But we did a good job just, like I said, not focusing on where we were and then just going back to what we did in practice. We do that every week. So we start, you know, way backed up and then move the ball forward. So, yeah. Pretty much it.
Hey, Mac, what did you think of the way Josh McDaniels called the game, especially early on when you guys were in some third and longs? You had a first and long there, and it seemed like you guys mixed things up pretty good.
Yeah, he did a great job. You know, we talked about, just like I said, practice. We saw a lot of those looks, and we just have to do it well in the game. And it's his job to call plays, and it's my job to execute them, and everyone's job to execute them. And I think we're on the same page, and it's great. And Josh has been a lot of fun to work with. He's really competitive, like everybody in our offensive room, and we have a great group of coaches from top to bottom, and we just have to keep doing what we're doing. Thanks, guys. See ya.
There you go, Mac Jones down there in Foxborough. By the way, while we were gone, the Pittsburgh Steelers were driving for a game-winning field goal in overtime against the winless Detroit Lions. On a completed pass, Steve, a fumble, Detroit recovers it. They only had one play, and that was it because time was going to run out because Pittsburgh would had one play away from setting themselves up for a field goal.
Right.
We end up in a 16-all tie.
Yay.
And so it's another team that you're worried about if you're the New England Patriots in trying to get one of those playoff spots, and Pittsburgh ends up with a tie against the worst team in football. And for Detroit, it's not a win, but, hey, listen, it's not a loss.
Right, right. So, not a loss. Yeah, that put Steelers at, 5-3-1 now, I
Correct.
Think, something like that.
Yeah, 5-3-1.
Yeah, so, again, that's is that as bad as losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars if you're Baltimore? Is that worse? I don't know, but both those games are terrible. Those are games you should just walk in, sweep the table, move along, and take your win and go back home. And that's when you're fighting for a playoff spot, that could come back to get you real quick.
All going to be a factor, I think, for New England. Here's Jimmy and Malden, formerly of Saugus. Jimmy, give it to us.
Hey, the big Fleetwood Mac attack, Jones. Corral those dirty dogs from Cleveland and corral them back to the dog pound where they belong today. It's now off to Atlanta for some Southern Fried Falcons on Thursday.
All right, Jimmy. Hey. Get some rest for Thursday.
All right.
It's a short week.
Oh, actually, wasn't as bad as previous weeks.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Keeps on throwing the Fleetwood Mac thing.
I know.
How many of the young listeners out there?
Pushing it.
Fleetwood, oh, what are you talking about?
Go with Mac Truck. That'll work better. How's that sound?
Yeah, at least people know about it.
Yeah.
Here's Robert in Shrewsbury. What do you got, Robert?
All right, guys, give me a minute here. First of all, I really want to know what you guys think because I respect the intelligence of both of you guys. What I see
too much
here
credit.
Is that...
Well, Fred's not here.
No, seriously.
It's easy.
What I see here is when I see Josh McDaniels and Belichick over these last 20 years, their coaching, the intelligence, the schemes are so far superior to all of the other teams out there. However, you have to have the talent to execute those schemes, and that's why I want you to comment on.
I think
Steve,
you just
please.
Nailed it. I think you just nailed it. So you can come up with all the schemes you want, and I agree with you. I think Belichick is brilliant. Okay, I think Josh McDaniels is as good of offensive coordinator as you're going to find. Do they make mistakes? Sure they do. But on the other hand, you need to have enough talent to be able to execute what you're doing, or you're dumbing your stuff down, making it so simplistic that you just simply can't win some of the games. And I think we saw that last year and even the second half of the year before.
I'll take it one step further when talking about the talent. I think it's more important for Bill Belichick to bring a team together that is smart about what they do. I mean, if you go up and down the rosters of the great years the Patriots had with Brady, you can't list a whole bunch of Hall of Famers. You know, okay, Randy Moss, Richard Seymour, Ty Law, you know, but you figure a team that wins 6 Super Bowls is going to put a few guys in the Hall of Fame. He's rarely had the most talented teams in the league, even when he won championships. He's beaten more talented teams. So I think it's tremendous coaching, like you guys said. I think it's also finding the talent that A, wants to work that hard, and B, is willing to study enough to understand exactly what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I think there's no question. You've got to be smart to be able to play with Belichick. But I think we saw it over the last year and a half leading up to this, the whole debate about Belichick versus Brady.
Sure.
I've always said this from day one, and I think you have as well. It's been both of them.
Yep.
You've needed both of them to achieve that type of success that you had, the greatest success over a 20-year period of any football team, maybe any franchise in all of professional sports. But in the last year and a half, Belichick has taken a hit. His reputation has taken a hit because Brady's been playing with really good personnel. Mm-hmm. Brady still can play at a very high level.
Yes, he can.
At an advanced age. We're seeing that.
Not today.
And so he's had, right, today he had a rough day. But he's had tremendous success. And Bill, meanwhile, was starting at square one again.
Yeah.
He had to rebuild and start all over again. There were people that have been knocking Bill Belichick, and you and I have debated them for years, as a drafter, even though he's drafting lower than any team in the league over the last 20 years average. Go look it up. And it's not just in the first round. It's in the second, third, fourth, fifth. All right? Belichick has been a phenomenal roster builder over the years.
Agreed.
You don't have that type of success over 20 years, with or without Tom Brady, without being able to build a roster. And now, into the draft, everybody's praising him again because with five quarterbacks, he was the last guy to pick one of those quarterbacks in the first round. He might have got the best of the bunch.
And the response to that was he was lucky that that Mac Jones fell to number 15. Okay, well,
or San Francisco was stupid because they moved up and gave up all of that, you know, leverage with Miami to move into that position,
right?
And they didn't take Mac Jones.
I can tell you this, having known, and you've known Bill for a long, long time, having known and played for him, there's not a lot that he will count on luck for.
He's not a luck guy.
So to think that he was lucky to have Mac Jones, could it have gone another way? It could have, but I think he looked at it and said, there's a decent possibility he falls to 15, and turns out it's a guy he wanted, and it turns out he's the best quarterback in the draft this year. So, the people who dislike Belichick for whatever reason, want to ascribe it to luck. I don't think Bill Belichick works in a scenario where he counts on luck for anything.
Now you make your own luck, and he's always said that. But I think over the last year and a half, he's taken a hit, and rightfully so, because the other guy has done so well, and everybody wants to make it it's either Bill or it's Brady. It can't be
Which
both of them for having success over 20 years, even though that's exactly what the answer to the question is.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime meeting of the minds.
Correct.
It's certainly a generational thing, maybe more than that, that you had the perfect guy who was willing and eager to follow the lead of one of the best coaches ever and surrounded himself with other very good coaches. So it worked out because Tom Brady wanted to study. He knew that studying was going to be his key to success in the NFL. It wasn't going to be his arm. It wasn't going to be his feet. It was going to be him being more prepared than any other quarterback. And that's and you had the best possible coach for that situation.
And this kid's picked up on it. He's got the same basic system. The thing is that the fools that were just ripping Belichick apart did not understand that Belichick could not be successful right out of the gate after the divorce. Brady was the one that had the huge advantage.
Right.
He was going with a football team that was ready to win a Super Bowl.
Smart move by him.
Right. Look at the talent. I'm not knocking Brady for doing that. Why not? Think of yourself. You know, you want to go there and you want to go and you want to win. You love winning Super Bowls. You had a knack of doing it over the years. But Belichick, I think, is actually ahead of schedule based on what I've seen in the last 3 weeks with putting this team together.
Agreed.
It's not just the wins. It's how they're doing it right now, how they're putting this team together. All right, let's do this, Steve. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get right back to your phone calls. Your reaction, do you have a different feeling now toward this Patriot team based on the last 3 weeks? This was a quality opponent today, and they blew their doors off. All right, we'll get to it in your phone calls coming up next right here on The Real Postgame Show.
Now back to The Real Postgame Show. The winning streak continues as the Pats down the Browns. React and talk about the game right here
on WEEI.
All right, back here in The Real Postgame Show. D'Ossi is in the house. No Freddie today. He'll be back with us Thursday night. We got a late Thursday night game down there in Atlanta, as New England can win their seventh game. Didn't look like they would get to that point when this team was 2-4 and really struggling, but things are coming together with this football team.
Can I insert the Cam Newton watch?
Yeah, go ahead.
One touchdown pass.
I'm watching the game, by the way.
One rushing pass, up 17-0 on the, 8-1 Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, so he...
That's awesome.
So P.J. Walker's doing most of the work up and down the field,
Is.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they bring Cam Newton in when they get, to the 2-yard line. He ran it one time into the end zone, and then he threw a quick little pass to Robbie Anderson.
Because they thought he was going to run. Yeah.
And most of the problem that Arizona's having right now is they're turning the ball over.
Yep.
And Colt McCoy has become Colt McCoy once again. He's not the Colt McCoy we saw last week.
Yep.
Because they're playing without Kyler Murray.
Right.
So Cam is 2 of 3 throwing the ball with 0 yards and 1 touchdown. Running the ball, he's carried it once for 2 yards.
Listen, don't tell me about the pain. Just show me the baby. He's got 1 touchdown pass and 1 rushing touchdown.
Stevie,
right?
I gotta do this. I just heard the promo in this last break with Wiggy, and I love Wiggy.
He's the best.
But God, sometimes he says the dumbest things.
He is the best.
Oh, my God. So, Nick, if you could play a little bit of what Wiggy just said, the essence of what he just said from the show, Greg Hill's show on Friday, that they used as a promo.
Wiggy told me he knows the real reason why OBJ is not a Patriot this morning, and it's not money. It's not reluctance on Bill's part. There's one reason why OBJ is not a Patriot.
The real reason why is because you got an average quarterback. He didn't come here because your quarterback was average.
I'm telling you, Wiggy says it's almost as if Wiggy says something one week, and it's really dumb, and he needs to top it the next week and say something dumber. Now, he may be correct. OBJ might have looked at it and said, I'm not coming to New England because they have a rookie quarterback. I don't think he's that good. If that's the case, and he would have made the decision, as Wiggy claimed, of coming to New England if Cam Newton is here, then OBJ is the dope.
Right.
That's an idiotic move.
Right.
Now, I think the move of going with the Rams is the smartest move for him.
Of course.
He's going with a winner. Right? They had a major injury with Robert Jones this week, so they're going to need him right now in that offense, and he has a legitimate quarterback that can get him the football.
Yep.
But does anybody other than Wiggy think that OBJ would be catching footballs from Cam Newton at the quarterback? No. You'd be in the red zone, and Cam would be running it for 2 yards, and OBJ would not get a sniff of the football.
The only team he might have considered that really doesn't have a good quarterback scenario might have been New Orleans, because he's from that area, right?
Yeah.
He's from the New Orleans area.
Yeah.
So he might have considered that, but you knew if he had the opportunity, he was going to go to a team with that's contending for the playoffs. And this week the Patriots were a 5-4 team. They weren't what the Rams are. And you got a guy there's truth to the fact that, you know, they've got a guy that can sling the ball around and put up big yards and everything, but nothing to do with Mac Jones. That's crazy talk.
So a little bit of radio advice for one Jermaine Wiggins.
Yes,
because I love you, Wiggy, and
he's,
you know,
the best.
I love you. Yeah, we love you. Okay, it happens. You throw out a stupid-ass bad take, okay?
Yes.
And then you kind of get caught up in it. You say, I can't give up on it because I'm going to look like really bad if I just give up on it. So I'm going to show some patience. And the take is really bad. I think Cam Newton's a really good quarterback. 2015, you're right, Wiggy.
True.
Real good quarterback. Maybe even the beginning of 2018, I'd give you that. He sucks right now. He can't play at this level. Carolina picked him up, and they're up 20-0 against a really good football team in Arizona, playing, by the way, without their quarterback and their best receiver. Carolina picked him up because Carolina's going nowhere. Carolina needs to get some people, some fannies into the seats, and they bring back a guy that everybody adores and loves, just like you do, Wiggy.
Yep.
Everybody loves Cam Newton. He's a wonderful person, and he's a great dresser. All right? He can't play. He can't throw the football. And if you're looking at that game today, and if Wiggy doesn't come out tomorrow, little radio advice, and throw away your take, and basically say, I was... Throw it away.
Not going to happen.
Say I screwed up. I misjudged it.
He's gonna...
And come out and say that this young rookie quarterback, through 10 games, is damn good. And probably is going to get a lot better because he seems to be getting better every week.
Nope. Stick with it, Wiggy. Nope.
Got to throw it away, Wiggy.
You
got to give up on the take. You lose credibility when you don't give up on take. You got to throw it away and basically say, I screwed up. I'll be better with the next one.
Version 3.0 coming back to 2015. And this time he won't shy away from trying to recover a fumble. Other than that, he's all over it. Stick with it, Wiggy. It's the best. I'm glad you have the dedication to
Steve,
your
Steve, let
beliefs.
Me ask you this question. You've played the game. You've or commentated on the game for quite a few years.
Yes.
Do you believe in this offense today? They put up, 45 points. Do you believe that Cam Newton could have done what Mac Jones did today?
Absolutely not. Not even close. Not even a question. From what we saw of Cam Newton all of most of last year, no, absolutely not. And you said it yourself. Carolina's he's basically a red zone quarterback, or not even a red zone, maybe a goal line quarterback.
That's what he is.
Yeah,
he's good at it, by the way.
Good. Hey, that's
because
fun.
All he has to do, he's so big and he's so strong. 2 yards is nothing for him. 4 yards is nothing for him. He just has to stretch, and he's in the end zone.
And he's been out of football for 10 weeks. He's all healed up, and you know didn't really take much damage in the preseason. Even
drinking
even
wine,
here.
Smoking cigars. Good training.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Worked for me.
Just throwing it out there.
to that level, but it worked.
Wiggy's got to give it up.
No,
he's got to give it up.
No,
there's a time in which you love the guy, and you know Cam Newton, and you think the world of him, and he was once a great quarterback in that league. You just have to understand it's 2021. The game has changed. He's changed. He's not the same quarterback, and you have to throw the towel in. But when you're sitting there
beliefs.
Trying to tell me that he would have been better than what you're getting from Mac Jones, and that he might be right about the OBJ stuff. Maybe OBJ looked at it, and he didn't assess it properly. He hasn't watched Jones at all.
Right.
You know, a lot of people were saying the same thing about Justin Herbert last year in the first half of the season. A lot of players probably wouldn't have gone to the L.A. Chargers. Why? Well, they got a rookie quarterback out there.
Yeah.
Well, apparently you weren't watching him because the kid turned out to be pretty good, and he's getting better and better.
Agreed. But a guy like OBJ has been around long enough to know that find a spot where, would it be a situation where you pick a team that has a chance of going to a Super Bowl, Tom Brady? I mean, OBJ? Of course you would. Why wouldn't you? If you have a number of teams to pick from, why wouldn't you look at it? And the money was probably going to be the same no matter what. Why wouldn't you look at it and say, let me go to this team because they have a better than most chance of getting to a Super Bowl. Oh, and by the way, you're in L.A. You can hang out with your buddy Bron Bron.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
And you have a great quarterback.
L.A. is not a bad place.
It's a perfect set. It makes all the sense in the world, but that wasn't Wiggy's point. Wiggy's point was it was Mac Jones versus Cam Newton, and to me that would be a no-brainer. And again, that's Wiggy's opinion. Maybe it would have been OBJ's opinion as well. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Agreed.
And I would say this, based on what you're seeing with Mac Jones right now, if I'm Greg Hill and I'm Curtis and I'm Ken tomorrow, I'm picking that scab all over Wiggy tomorrow.
Yep.
Because I there's no comparison right
Wiggy's
now.
Wiggy's going to hold his ground. All right? Don't you try to undermine it. All right?
Trust me, I've done it myself.
It's
and
good.
I'm stuck with takes well after they have expired.
Yep.
And have looked like a fool many times doing it.
Retire it.
It's a bad, stupid, idiotic take, Wiggy. Retire it.
But how do you come back off
of that?
Put
it out of its misery.
It's been a while now. How do you come back?
Listen. You know what he'll do? He'll come out tomorrow and say, I'm telling you, Cam Newton led the Carolina Panthers over the Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
He was 2 of 3 with 0 yards passing and 1 rush for 2 yards. That was the difference.
All right. Now, let me try to play a little devil's advocate
here.
You know what? Mac Jones is probably a lot better than most people thought, wouldn't you think? I mean, that's
– Yes.
I'd say he's a lot better.
And listen, people laughed at me when I said – that he was going to be the starting quarterback with game one this year.
Yeah,
because Belichick's no fool.
I giggled.
And everybody kept on laughing and saying, what are you talking about? He's starting Cam Newton in these preseason games. Sure, that's right. Bill's going to make the kid earn it.
Yeah.
Bill's not going to hand over the keys to the kid. And then how is that going to give – how is he going to feel that he was handed the position? He didn't have to earn it. Now he doesn't have to work for it. Bill knew exactly what he was doing. Bill was using Cam Newton because, and I'm saying that in a nice way, because Cam Newton was a guy that seemed to get, he was the Pied Piper. He was able to round up all those other players.
Sure.
Bill knew it. He kept the glue together of that team with Cam Newton. And then when he figured out that he had a better quarterback, I did say that, Wiggy, a better quarterback, that's when he let loose. And guess what he did? He let Cam go because he did not want him, as Cam said, and Cam was right. He didn't want Cam to be a distraction.
Right, and which it probably would have been to some point. Agreed. But then you look at 10 weeks of the NFL and finally you got a team that picked him up, and you're exactly correct about what Carolina was thinking. Okay, maybe we can use him in the red zone or near the goal line, and you know what? The Panther fans might still remember some of the good Cam Newton.
He's going to keep the interest. They like him down there.
Yeah, he's going to do a great press conference
for the rest of the season. We're not going anywhere.
Right. He'll do a great press conference. He'll entertain people, and he's sharp, and he's funny, and he's got all these nicknames, and he's good with the camera.
And he smokes cigars and drink wine.
I was getting to the best parts.
He's got some good qualities.
It's
just not a good quarterback in the NFL now, Wiggy. Yeah, and Mac Jones is. I hate to say it. He is. You got to admit it, Wiggy.
He's
a good
touchdown.
Quarterback right now. As a rookie, he's only played 10 games. All right, we'll get back to the phone.
Do you think Bill Belichick, we'll talk about this too later, you think Bill Belichick knew that Mac was going to be this good? You think surprised, I mean.
But you know Bill. Yeah. Bill never takes anything for granted and suddenly says, I think the kid's going to be really good. No.
Right.
I think he watched him every day like the same way he watched Tom Brady 21 years ago.
Yep.
And he said, he's got some potential. He's getting better. He's smart. He's figuring this out.
Yeah.
And day by day, he gained confidence to the point where he sat there and said, it's time to give the ball to Mac Jones.
Agreed.
And in doing so, I've got to get rid of Cam Newton because it is going to present a distraction on my team. This will be, you know, hovering over his shoulder. This will be an issue.
Makes
Bill
sense.
Did exactly what he needed to do, and that's why this franchise right now is in good shape as they're starting to turn this thing around. That's what's going on. 617-779-7937 right here on the Real Postgame Show. Old-fashioned ass-whooping by the Patriots today over the Cleveland Browns. It was a game last week we described as the game. It's really going to give us an indication of where this team is. Cleveland was coming off a blowout win against the Bengals, previously the top team in that division, the North Division of the AFC. And so it was a legitimate test. A top defensive team. Offensively, they've got weapons. They can put some points up. And yet, other than the first possession in which a backup running back looked like he was going to take over the game, you shut them down. And then you destroyed their defense. So we throw out the question, are they legit? It's been three games now. Look around the league. You see this with all of these teams. You know, they have three, four good weeks, and you suddenly say, oh, this team is on the rise, or this team is fading, or whatever. This team is getting better and better every single week. They get Atlanta on Thursday night. Then after that, they get Tennessee at home, and then we get into those two Buffalo games. There's a game mixed in between. I can't even remember what game is mixed in between. But
who was it? The Colts. Colts is in between
Colts
the Buffalo
on,
games.
At home, correct?
Yep.
Is it home game?
It is no.
In Indy.
It's a road game.
In Indy.
Okay, Indy. All right, so you'll get a better a test here. But this is usually the best time to determine where a Bill Belichick team is. After week 10, Thanksgiving, you tell me, Steve, that's usually the point. Bill's pointed this out in the past. Brady's pointed it out in the past. This is where you find out what your football team is made of.
Right.
Well, here
Agreed.
They are. This
Agreed.
Was game 10. And you tell me.
Looks
to me like you might have a legitimate football team.
You're in the position now where when you look at the rest of the schedule, you're saying, okay, win the games that you should. Beat the Falcons. Beat the Colts. Beat the Jaguars. Beat the Dolphins. There's your 10 wins. Those are the games. You should be able to win those games the way this team's been playing. You look at them. You know, would you be surprised if they lost to the Titans? No. Would you be surprised if they lost to the Bills twice? Not really, depending on which Bills team shows up. You've got four winnable games there, four games that you can legitimately say you should win those games, and you win those, now you got 10 wins, you're in the playoffs. I didn't think the Patriots would be in that position this year. I thought they'd struggle to get 8 or 9 wins, and now they're
Me too.
Now they're looking at a scenario, and then you find some way to knock off one of the Bills in one of those games, or knock off the Titans. I mean, whatever it is, and would you put it past them? Not the way they're playing.
No, and I think it's amusing that people on Twitter are kind of making fun of, this is the turning point because Brady lost today in Washington. And
no.
Look at what New England's doing. I wouldn't worry about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They had a lot of receiver injuries.
Right.
Antonio Brown's been a big part of Brady being able to open up that offense. Gronk, obviously, is his security blanket, and he hasn't had him. So I wouldn't. And Washington played them well last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That defense, that Washington defense. But I would say this, that Tampa Bay is going to be fine. Forget about them. Your Patriot team is looking more and more like a legitimate playoff team. And I don't think we could say that 3 weeks ago. I think you'd sound like a fool if you said that 3 weeks ago.
Agreed.
Right back to the phone calls we go here, Steve. Here's John. John's in Weymouth. Hey, John.
Hey, Glenn, how's that Arizona heat doing?
That's terrific. It's 84 every day, John.
Whatever.
Beautiful. Whatever.
Oh, man, you suck.
I agree.
You know, Wiggy makes Steve from Fall River look intelligent.
That's a good point.
Okay?
It's a little shaky.
It's okay, Wiggy. You have to admit when you're wrong. I had to say that Brady was better than Bledsoe. And Glenn, you can attest to that.
I went through that too. I had to go through that too. I was a stickler sitting there going, you can't give up on Drew. You can't. How stupid was that?
Exactly.
Stupid. Idiotic. That was my
this
idiotic take.
Poise, it's uncanny. I mean, now Brady, when he came in, was incredibly poised, but that was after knowing the system for a year, having Drew tutor him and everything. This kid just doesn't get flustered.
No.
It's amazing. I think that this team has a shot. Not saying they will. I'm saying I'll go out on a limb and say they're going to take the division and get a first-round bye.
Hmm. Interesting. They're going to be able to overcome what the Bills put on the table then. Because right now the Bills what?
Yeah, I'm not ready to buy into that because I think you'd have to win both of those games against Buffalo, right?
Probably.
I'm not sure you can split those games. You know, Buffalo's really good. I thought it was interesting. Bill Cowher ran down today. I don't know if you saw it in the pregame. His five best defensive teams in the National mm-hmm. Football League. Buffalo was the number one defense. And we know what they can do offensively
right.
as well, right? And score a lot. So he had them as number one. By the way, he had the Patriots as number four. And he had the Cleveland Browns, the team that they put 45 up on today, is the number five defense in the league. Cowher's pretty good at this stuff. I wouldn't
True.
A lot of people throw those up there and you kind of laugh at them. But the coach is pretty good at this. Here's Tom next up here on the Real Post Game Show.
Hey, gentlemen, good afternoon. I'd like to give a shout-out to Christian Barmore. He's been playing tremendous.
Excellent.
And, yeah, we hear Belichick often talk about players do a lot on defense that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. And that third-quarter sack that Barmore didn't get credit for, he was triple-teamed on it. The left guard and the center, they engaged. The right guard didn't engage, but he didn't do anything else on the play but keep his eye on Barmore.
Yep.
So he was effectively triple-teamed, still managed to collapse the pocket from the middle. Baker rolls out. I think it was Juden got credit for the sack. But that was an epitome of one of those plays where it's not going to show up in the stat sheet, but he was incredibly effective, and he's been doing it all year. He's one of the most double-teamed interior defensive tackles in the entire NFL. He's got to be nominated for some kind of unsung hero award, and I know he'll never win it, but if you watch it and how effective he is in the style that he plays, he deserves a vote for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Well, I don't know about that, but I would say this. You're looking at a second-round draft pick, and I know that Belichick has been criticized in drafting, especially in the second round.
Right.
He might have scored with this one, Steve.
Yeah,
this one
agreed.
He might have scored with.
Agreed.
Because you watch him, and we were all talking about him a couple weeks ago, and then last week after the game, the night after, I went back and watched the game, just kind of kept my eyes on number 90. He is really making some big plays out there.
He is.
I mean, he's causing havoc out there. He's a load for an offensive line to deal with.
Agreed. And I'll dispel the idea of triple teaming. Nobody's getting a triple team. And if you are, it means
two guys are free.
Yeah, it might be Aaron Donald at the most. But it doesn't. Just because a guy's watching doesn't mean he's triple teaming you. So, but it doesn't matter. He is getting the respect of some double teams. And that's huge for a rookie. I mean, for a guy to come in and automatically a offensive coordinator says, you know, we got to pay attention to this guy, just like they're paying attention to Juden or trying to. And I think Juden got he had some good pressures today. I think he got credit for a half sack maybe on the one he was involved in. But
yeah, there were like four guys involved.
I think he got a half a sack there. But the fact is that you and Belichick. Looks at this kid. There were some questions about him coming out of college. There were some maturity issues, or so to speak. There were a few things that people thought of. But that was probably one of those scenarios where Bill just picks up the phone, calls up his buddy down there. Saban says, you know, this kid's a player or whatever, and if you can steal him in the second round, then by all means. And it's worked out great for the kid. It's good to see a rookie play like a veteran. A guy make doing even the simple things when he's not making plays, but he's still taking up, he's still securing his area, or he's still, you know, he might not get in on the sack, but he drew some attention here and he made sure that the quarterback got flushed out or whatever. He's doing all the things that you see, especially D-line is hugely difficult to come in from college to the pros because you got a bunch of offensive linemen. Most of the times you're facing guys that have been doing it for a while. Guys that have the routine down and have seen a lot more players than any rookie, he's been consistent throughout, and he's made some plays. It'd be one thing to be a consistent, nice player. He's made some plays, and that's why he's gotten the praise he has from Belichick.
Yeah, I think he's been really good.
Yeah,
and again, maybe because of where he plays and the number of plays he's in on, that nationally there aren't a lot of people talking about him.
Right.
But this guy's right. He's been that good. And you look at the defense and how the defense is starting to mold together. And you look at the move by Belichick in being willing to let go of Stephon Gilmore. He was willing to let him go.
Yeah.
And the only way that Bill does that, and we saw it years ago with Richard Seymour, another great player. And the only reason Bill was willing to let him go is he thought what he had behind him was going to be good. Maybe not as good as what they got with Seymour, but
right.
Down the road, within 7-8 games, by the time they needed somebody at that position to play at a much higher level, he thought he would be comfortable going with what he had. I got to believe he felt the same way with Gilmore, because I don't know about you. I understood it was a financial situation,
right.
And they didn't want the BS or whatever, but still, this is still a great player. You're not going to pay him going forward to age 33, 34, or whatever. But what about this year? If you believe you've got something this year, why would you let him go? Other than they think they have something. And J.C. Jackson had another terrific game today. He should have had a pick, and another pick in this game. So maybe they look at it and say, we're going to be okay without Gilmore.
And the only question you have is that isn't J.C. Jackson a free agent next year?
He is unrestricted.
Unrestricted.
He's going to make a killing.
So maybe
they move on from him at the end of the year.
He might not be a long-term solution, but certainly a solution for this year. He's been fantastic this year. And they did get a reasonable draft choice from the Raiders for Seymour, didn't they? I mean, they got
a first.
They got a first, yeah. So that's what I thought it was. And
middle of the season, right?
Yeah. What'd you get for Gilmore? Sixth, fifth?
Yeah, you got very little because any team that was going to pick him up knew that he was not going to be satisfied with his money.
Right.
So you either have him for the games remaining, you're renting him.
Yes.
Because he's going to go back into the free agent market and he's not going to re-sign with you.
Probably.
All right. D'Assi is here. No Freddie Smirlis. He will be back with us on Thursday. We'll be back with you. More phone calls, more reaction to the Patriots. Are they now legit? 617-779-7937.
Now back to the real postgame show. Another W for the Pats as they take down the Browns. React and talk about the game right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Talk about taking down the Browns. 45-7 was your final score. How about total yards in the game? 452 for New England, 217 for the Browns. Here are the two stats, though, that jump out at me that tell me that the Patriots have turned the corner here, Steve. Third down efficiency, they were 7 of 9.
Yep.
That was offense. How about defensively in third down situation? The Cleveland Browns today, because of the Patriots' defense, were 1 of 11
Stop that.
In third down situations. Think about that. You're 7 of 9 when you have the ball in a third down situation.
Yep.
And your defense is limiting them to one completion, one conversion on a third down situation out of 11 opportunities.
Right. Right.
Here's the other stat that jumps out at me, and it was something that you, me, and Fred were talking about weeks ago that was not good, and that is red zone efficiency. In the red zone, 6 times, 5 times they end up scoring.
Nice. Yeah, that's, I mean.
And that's turned around. And I think a lot of that, by the way, I think the tight end situation, certainly with Hunter Henry.
Agreed.
I think that's changed dramatically.
Yeah,
and they have a rushing game. They have a power rushing game right now, in even without Harris today,
right.
A power rushing game in the red zone.
And we talked about it a little earlier in the show that this was as clean a game as you could find. I didn't even know those the third down numbers there that made this even more interesting, and doubling up, more than doubling up the yardage, just ridiculous. This is a team that put up a bunch of points last week, a team that's known for being able to move the ball, but those numbers, it's every once in a while you catch a game where the numbers don't tell you the story. Those numbers tell the story.
No question.
Absolutely right.
And we're seeing this over the last 3 weeks. Third down efficiency has been tremendous. Their defense has done a tremendous job getting them off the field in a third down situation. And then now we're seeing efficiency in the red zone, something they struggled in desperately last year, even though they actually, Wiggy, I'm going to say something nice about Cam Newton here. They had a guy that was a weapon in the red zone.
Right.
Certainly, you know, when you get into goal line situations, he was a weapon, but they struggled because they didn't have the tight ends. They had nothing else you could do but run the option and have him run it into the end zone. Now, with tight ends, and certainly what you're seeing in that connection with Mac Jones and Hunter Henry, you're actually seeing them really showing some efficiency right now in the red zone.
Well, when you talk about the red zone passing, and how many times you talk about that big tight end that can make the play. We loved it with Gronk. Gronk, you know, the ridiculous amount of touchdown catches. Two today for Hunter. Was it two today for Hunter Henry? Yeah,
yes.
It was two
right.
Touchdown catches. And I mean, that's a big target, especially when you know you don't have a lot of area to work. You know, your running backs aren't going to get the separate. I mean, your wide receivers don't have the entire field to work with, where you can get separation easier. So you find your tight end, a bigger target, a guy that can wall off guys with his body a little bit more than a wide receiver can. And you see exactly that. It worked out great. And it's good to see, especially with the money invested in the two tight ends. I know Smith was out today, but it's nice to see the tight ends being part of this offense. We didn't see it in the first three or four games. We didn't see any of it.
Did not. It might have had something to do with the quarterback and trying to get on the same page and communicate, but certainly Mac Jones and Hunter Henry have found some connection here. All right, 617-779-7937. Are you a believer? Here's Matt in Rhode Island. Hey, Matt.
Yes, sir. Definitely a believer. I was on Stevenson. He obviously played great today. You know, it's like he's keeping those pads really, really low. And at 6 feet, he kind of reminds me of a young Adrian Peterson. Don't jump all over me, but, you know, big, bull collar running back, you know, University of Oklahoma. But, you know, I thought he had a great, Steve, you know, like as linebacker, you know, with both those guys running, Harris and Stevenson. You know, as the weather gets colder, those linebackers are going to be a tough time bringing them down.
Yeah, I'd like to know what his yards after contact was, because it didn't seem like the first guy was bringing him down that often. He got hit hard a couple times, but
yeah,
it seemed like he was always struggling. He was always working to get those extra yards after contact, and I guarantee that accounted for a nice chunk of his yards today.
I'll tell you what, he was great. We talked about the touchdown where they were able to score 99.5 mm-hmm. yards away. They were backed up
yes.
to that goal line after the penalty. He ran the ball for 5 yards, then he ran the ball for 18
well,
yards.
Well, can I just real quick, that first 5 yards, he got hit pretty hard right at the line of scrimmage, too.
And they were trying to get the ball free
yeah.
from him, and he would not give up that ball because
yep.
he remembers earlier this year.
Yes, he does.
He gave up that football, and he knows he's not doing that again, because you know what happens when you do that?
You
sit
play.
On that bench.
Yep.
You don't play. But I thought he was key. If we're talking about scoring in that 99.5-yard drive, I thought he was a key element to that,
well,
because
he
gave some space to work.
After that 5-yard run, he had some other runs, too.
He did.
You've had him right there. It's he's just some amazing runs. You know, he had one 10- or 11-yard run, another couple of 7- and 8-yard runs. I mean, he was dragging them out of that out of the shadow of their own goalpost.
Here's Rob. Rob's down on the Cape here on the Real Post Game Show. Hello, Rob.
Hey.
Hey, Rob.
Hi. You're
all
up,
right,
buddy.
So
go ahead.
One thing I want to say is the Mac Daddy, first of all, in the building.
Love watching
he
it.
He came out showed the league what he's doing. You got to get respect. Wiggy, I'm sorry. He must have lost a bet. He must think it's 2015 still. We're going to Cam Newton. I don't really know what's going on over there.
It's all new to Wiggy. You got to learn to take your take and just bury it. You know, that's what the Patriots used to do. You know, they used to bury footballs years ago. You know, Al Groh used to do it. Just bury your take and sit there and say, and laugh at it. Laugh at yourself and say, okay, I screwed up. I blew it. I was wrong.
Nope.
Okay.
Stick with it, Wiggy.
All right. That's enough about Wiggy. I want to say, N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry.
He's big today.
We know he's not very good, but at least today he came out and showed something for us. You know, good for him.
One catch, 26 yards. You know, good for him. That was great.
That's a lot more than we've seen in the past.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Agreed.
Low expectations now, Steve.
Yep. Agreed.
But and is then, J.C. Jackson is just a stud. Like,
he is. He should have had that interception today, right? I mean, he had a chance at one today. So
yeah, McCourty could have had one today, but that would have been a phenomenal one-handed catch, right?
Yeah.
Nobody throws at JC. I mean, he's out there, and that's the definition of being the island corner and being the standalone guy on that side. They don't even throw at JC.
Yeah, but that pick was ridiculous because that was one where Baker Mayfield really forced it into double coverage, and it was a dumb pass.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you still see Baker Mayfield doing, Steve, making those type of mistakes. Man,
it was a dumb pass compounded by a bad throw. You know, I mean, it was the idea that you're throwing into that made no sense whatsoever, and let alone then you have a throw that was I think it was a little bit behind the receiver or whatever. But again. He's always been that gambler kind of guy. He's always, no matter where he's been, Oklahoma or Cleveland, he's been that guy. And the problem is when you get a disciplined defense, it's a lot harder to be a gambler against that defense.
By the way, that's my dog making that.
He's a good boy.
He's not the call.
He's a good boy.
No, right now he's not a good boy. but you can't put a muzzle on him anymore or things like that because people will criticize you.
That's true.
He's a wonderful dog. Don't get me wrong. But right now he needs to shut up. Here's Ralph in Cranston. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, guys. Glenn, great to hear you back on the air.
Thank you, Ralph.
Stevenson, I've been waiting for him since the preseason, and he, you know, I'm not comparing him to him, but his combination of speed, power, and his ability to shake off tackles reminds me a little bit of the Jimmy Brown. I mean, you're old enough.
One of the all-time greats now.
High praise.
I'm not going to say I'm comparing him to Jimmy, but he's got that type of ability.
But you just did. It reminds you of Jimmy Brown. That was your line.
It's a little something.
Listen, I think everything you're saying before that, I agree with. I think he's really good. I think he's a power runner. I think he's got really some quick little moves that are interesting. And as Steve pointed out, he's a barrel after that. It's hard to bring him down. Okay. But Jimmy Brown.
All right. You guys mentioned Wiggy. How about Rex Ryan calling Jones a pea shooter a couple of weeks ago? He's a pea shooter. I don't know if you guys saw that. He was on a show and he called Jones a pea shooter. I wonder how that pea shooter looked today. You know, you also mentioned Seymour. To me, that's a sore subject because, to me, that was the worst transaction that the Patriots made because, like you said, he didn't replace Seymour for a couple of years. That's just what they needed the next 2 years was that pass rusher that they traded away.
Yeah, but I think I'm
sure you call Seymour a pure pass rusher.
No.
You know, he was a great all around player, but he defended the run as well as he rushed the passer. So
the biggest problem with Seymour, and I think you're seeing it right now with him in the Hall of Fame, is that he doesn't have those great stats. You know, you've got to look at Seymour's entire game.
Yep.
You know,
unfortunately.
To really understand how good he was, because
he
was really good, Steve.
Yeah,
and he should be. He's a Hall of Fame player.
And he was required to do things that weren't adding to his stats. I mean, I have no doubt that he could have lined up on the outside as big and fast as he was. He could have rushed the passer
pretty well.
But his responsibility was, for the most part,
get inside. Take a couple guys.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, we talk about Freddie was the same way. Freddie was one of the best, from Bill Belichick himself, one of the best nose tackles ever to play the game. But nose tackles don't put up stats. It's just the way it is. Aaron Donald might break the mold a little bit in terms of stats and impact because he's an interior, for the most part, he's an interior defensive lineman that just puts up some incredible stats. But he's rushing the passer on every play, no matter if it's a running play or whatever. So, Richard Seymour was a great Patriot, and I thoroughly believe that he'll be in the Hall of Fame. But the he's deserving of the Hall of Fame, but it's you don't get those numbers. You just don't. You know?
All right, 617-779-7937. That's our phone number here on the Real Post Game Show, where we're throwing out the question because you saw it today, 45-7. I don't overreact, as you know, to one game.
I do.
You do. Fred does.
Fred does.
I don't, but this is a trend now. And you're seeing it not only in the score, you're seeing it in the way the quarterback plays. You're seeing it in the running game. You're seeing it in the offensive line. You're certainly seeing it on the defensive side of the ball. You're starting to see what this team is made of. This is they're starting to create an identity. When you do that, I believe that's when you mature yourself into a position where you can be taken seriously. And I think I'm ready to cross that line today and take this team seriously. Are you? 617-779-7937 on the Real Post Game Show.
This is the Real Post Game Show with Ordway, D'Ossi, and Smirless. The winning streak continues as the Pats down the Browns. React and talk about the game right here
on WEEI.
Are you a believer? 45-7. They have reeled off the last 3 weeks and have been very, very impressive. This hour, the Real Post Game Show brought to you by McFarlane Energy, now hiring HVAC, AD, oil burner techs, as well as CDL drivers, McFarlaneEnergy.com.
All right. It's for real. It's for real. I'm watching, you know, you watch TV, you watch the games, and they have an ad for NFL Network, what's it called? The Game Pass, something like that?
Yes. Yeah.
They show highlights of players and everything. Mac Jones was one of the highlights. They showed it. It's legit. He's real. Wow. It's official. That's
the
all.
I don't recall. Allowing him into the club.
I've seen that commercial 100 times, and I've never seen Mac Jones on it. All of a sudden, what? He's legit. It's over.
Listen, I think you. If you look at,
I didn't see Cam Newton. Just saying.
No, you didn't see it.
Nope.
Poor Wiggy. Wiggy, by the way, tweeted out like about an hour ago. Yeah. Cam's back. He's back.
Of course,
he's great.
He did.
He looks great because he's looking at the score, 20-0. I'm watching the game, Wiggy. Okay, I got to tell you, Cam is a part-time player.
Yeah,
they put him down there in the goal line. That's what he's doing. He's been good in the goal line, which always was good in the goal line.
Yep.
But he's a part-time player.
Yes.
The other kid, P.J. Walker, he's the quarterback right now. And I'm sure Cam will end up winning the starting job. Because they need to, you know, win some games and appease the crowd in Carolina because Darnold is out for the season.
One thing he will win the press conference after the game.
No question.
Cam Newton will come in styling and do his usual fantastic press conference. And it'll be like, oh, people will be like, he's back, we're here, it's all good. And then reality will set in eventually.
Listen, I'm not saying that Mac Jones is not going to have any setbacks. I think we've seen it. You saw it with Herbert, and you've seen it with all of these young quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
That you look at and say, this kid's good. This kid is legit.
Yeah.
And then they'll have some bad games. They'll have some defensive coordinators that'll find a little wrinkle. And because coaching, as you know, Steve, is so much a part of what happens Sunday to Sunday. I think we're learning that here in New England, finally. And so there'll be some wrinkles, but the kid's legit. And for the guys on Fox on the pregame show today to talk about, well, it's just the situation. Now, if you want to tell me that if Mac Jones had got drafted by another team, let's say the Jets or somewhere else, he'd be the same quarterback he is right now after 10 games, I'd say no freaking way. He is a product of Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and the so-called system or whatever, if you want to throw that out there. But the system, by the way, is all devised based on the skill set that the guy who's playing quarterback brings to you. Okay, so
true.
That plays off of it. But this kid's legit. I mean, after 10 games, he's legit. I wasn't willing to buy into it after 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. After 10 weeks, I don't know how you can't see this. And I'm not saying he's going to be Tom Brady, but, you know, you look back at the first year of Brady, and that was really year two when we got an opportunity to see Brady. Are we not seeing some of the same stuff?
You are. I would just off the top of my head, I would say that Mac Jones' numbers are probably better overall than what Brady's were his first year of start of that first.
I think they're giving him a little bit more of a leash.
They are.
I think they're allowing him to do
right
a little bit more.
And since the rule changes, it's a lot easier want more offense. What Tom Brady was in was a league that way you could rough up for the first 5 or 6 years, you could rough up the quarterback. You could also rough up the receivers and get away with a lot more. So since 2006 or 7, whatever year it was, when the rule change came in, and Mac Jones is a product of that. His receivers aren't going to get pushed around like they used to be able to do, and Tom Brady had to deal with that for 3 or 4 or 5 years starting. So, but again, the as much as I don't want to have the comparisons, you have to look at it. You have to look at how he's playing, and I think the most important, and it's not even a stat, it's just a feeling, the poise that he shows. Even when we got rattled a little bit against the Chargers,
I think that's something to these young quarterbacks. You know when you see a defense get to them, and they kind of wilt. You're sitting there going, okay, this kid, this is going to be a learning curve. This is going to take some time or whatever. You even saw that in the first couple of years with Josh Allen,
yes,
up in Buffalo.
Yes.
Okay, they would pick him apart, and he would suddenly head down, and you're wondering what's going to happen. I don't think you see any of that was Mac Jones. And you're right, Steve. That is a quality that you just can't teach. You got to have balls. You got to have confidence. You almost have to be cocky. You know, and he doesn't come across necessarily that way when he talks, but I think he does with the way he plays.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. And when you look at it, you see that. And then part of that is he played with phenomenal athletes at Alabama. You look at the offense that he had there, and two receivers drafted in the top 13, 14 picks, a running back that was in the first round. He's the speed was already there in Alabama. I mean, so he might have a jump on some other guys because he might be a little used to the speed, not so much of the defenders, but of his even any little edge like that that a quarterback has in this league now is important.
So I think that's a great point. And I also think the other point that is really good that people have brought up, he's playing for a coach who's very similar to the coach that he played with in college.
Sure.
And, by the way, that coach in college is really running a pro system.
Yep.
Okay, so
good
all
point.
Of that plays into it. But for years and leading up to the draft, I heard so many people saying, you can't draft a quarterback from Alabama because you're getting a false sense of what he is. He's playing with all of these great players, 12, 15 guys off that roster,
yep,
maybe even more are going to end up playing in the National Football League. You're not getting a true sense of who he is. It's all being masqueraded by all the talent around him. So what is it? Is it that was a boost for him and a plus, or was it just the opposite?
You can make a case for the anti Alabama quarterback groups because there have been some guys that have played very well at Alabama and had phenomenal records, phenomenal numbers, couldn't play in the NFL. And
when we throw out the name of AJ McCarron as the best that we can think of. Oh, wait a minute, Joe Willie Namath. Can we go back that far?
You don't want to go to his numbers either.
When we do that, that tells you that. I think it was true that they're playing with so many good players, including on that offensive line, protecting your running backs, etc., that you've got a false sense of what Alabama quarterbacks are. And I think you can look at two of them that played with virtually the same personnel, most of the same personnel. Tua Tagovailoa down in Miami, and this kid. Tua is struggling right now.
Struggling.
Okay? He's having moments. He's showing you some signs, which talented young quarterbacks show you. He's also showing you signs that he's not ready for that elevation to the NFL. This kid is showing you consistency, right?
Yes.
Showing you something totally different. Mac Jones is. So, and those are two quarterbacks, and they both played with virtually the same personnel.
Yeah, and anytime you look at that scenario, it's what you take out of what you learn, what you can bring with you to the NFL that you learned in the in college, and the adjustment is huge for the speed, the strength, the quickness, the play calling, the responsibilities. Those are all things that a lot of guys aren't ready for when they make the jump from college to the pros. And then you talk about it even more so when you're the most important player on the field. And your responsibilities are tripled or quadrupled or whatever. You're expected to lead your team. So there's a lot there that any quarterback coming out of anywhere is going to have, but Alabama in particular, because A, you've played with very good players. You should be a little more used to the speed. You've practiced against some great players that have NFL caliber speed. You should be a little more prepared, but there hasn't been a ton of them. There really hasn't been a ton that have come out in the last 15, 20 years that have lit it up.
I think after today, especially going up against a good defense, you're going to hear a lot more talk nationally about how good this kid Mac Jones is. Here's David in the car next up on the Real Post Game Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thank you for taking the call. So, you know, a couple of points I want to bring up. I want to talk about Buffalo coming up in the near future, how I feel about those games. But, you know, New England is doing with Mac Jones exactly what, you know, in life, what people do with children. You crawl, you walk, and then you run. The Patriots are running now. They've crawled, they walked, and now they're running. And I'm telling you guys, in my opinion, this team is becoming a very dangerous team, very unpredictable. Belichick did exactly what he does best. Trades the opposite team, the quarterback, how good they are, and then he gives them a beatdown, and that's what they did today. And I honestly feel that when they play Buffalo, because they've been getting better and better every week, they can beat Buffalo without any problem. I really feel that way. And that's the only team that's really standing in the Patriots' way right now, in my opinion.
Well, in the division, if you're talking about them winning the division. Hey, listen, I will say this. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I don't think anybody would give him a shot in those two games in Buffalo. And maybe the one at home, maybe they can stay close, maybe they can come up with a couple of big plays late in the game and you pull it out. But I don't think anybody would look at it and say they can play really competitively against Buffalo. I think based on what you've seen in the last 3 weeks, Steve, I think that's all changed.
Yeah,
I think you look at those Buffalo games right now, and you're sitting there going, as a Patriot fan, you're sitting there going, you know, I think they have a chance of winning those games. I don't know if it's going to be as easy as the way David was talking.
No.
Because I think Buffalo's really good in all aspects of the game. They're really well-balanced. But New England's starting to show some balance here.
Agreed. And, you know, I think you still have the edge at quarterback. You have the edge at receiver. Running back, not so much. Defensively, I would have automatically put Buffalo's defense head and shoulders above the Patriots. But the Patriots' defense is playing better and a more cohesive unit than they did earlier on. So they're not as far behind as they were even just three weeks ago. So, it's not crazy to think. 3 weeks ago, I was saying, you're not going to touch Buffalo. Just let it go and try to win the games you can. Now it's like, can you steal one? Sure, you can. Whether they will or not, I don't know. I would say probably not. But the fact is, it's not crazy to think that it would happen. It was crazy to think it was going to happen.
Freddie's going to have a rough time with those two games.
I know.
He keeps on tweeting to all of his Buffalo people how great the Bills are, and then does the same thing with the Patriot people, telling them how great the Patriots are. When they both have to play each other in a matter of twice in 3 weeks,
yep,
this is going to be a real dilemma for Fred.
Yeah.
But Fred is a dilemma.
Yes.
I mean, he's a walking dilemma.
Agreed.
So that might be an issue.
Agreed.
I'm going to give you a number coming up next that might give you the best indication of why the New England Patriots might be in a great position to make the postseason. We'll do that plus more of your phone call, 617-779-7937, right here on the Real Postgame Show, broadcasting from the best yet private brand studio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.